You can meet and hear Anthony Esselin, John Warwick Montgomery, Ryan Anderson, Bev Yonke, Mark Kaltoff, and Chris Rosebro at the 2018 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 9th and Saturday, November 10th in Dallas, Texas. Early bird registration is $110. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 9th and 10th in Dallas.
Our Democratic colleagues, when they ask about Roe versus Wade, now have in mind a right that extends beyond the pregnancy itself.
The Pope has done what he can to shift Catholicism's formal public attitude toward a lot of stuff associated with the sexual revolution.
One of the reasons why evolution as an ideology and a mythology has been so powerful in our day is because it gives a way of thinking about death that's good.
Well, Kelly and I found out we're from different religions.
I thought you and Kelly were both Lutheran.
Oh, well, that's what I thought. Turns out she's Lutheran Church of America. I'm Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Kindergarten teachers from Baltimore love listening to Issues, Etc.
Washington Post headline reads, Cardinal Theodore McCarrick, facing sexual abuse reports, resigns from the College of Cardinals, calling Theodore McCarrick the first cardinal in history to step down due to sexual abuse allegations, magnifying the abuse crisis that Pope Francis is grappling with around the globe. It's now a big story. It was a story for decades, but now it's actually made it into print. How did it spend so much time circulating among reporters and those in the know, both inside the Catholic Church and in the Washington, D.C. area and American Catholicism, all the way to the Vatican, and not make it into the papers up to this point? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Monday afternoon, July the 30th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Julia Dean is going to join us, former religion editor for the Washington Times and a contributor to Get Religion here in the first few minutes of the program. We're going to get her evaluation of media coverage of the resignation of Theodore McCarrick from the College of Cardinals. It is a historic event. There's no doubt about that. And also a scandal that's not likely to go away anytime soon. It'll be part seven of our series on dualities in Scripture. In the next segment of the program, we'll be talking about the present and the future, the now and the not yet, with Dr. Alfonso Espinosa, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, Faith That Sees Through the Culture. Then in hour two of Issues Etc., we're going to talk about sanctification and good works with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, author of the book, Has American Christianity Failed? Joining us to talk about media coverage of the resignation of Theodore McCarrick from the College of Cardinals, Julia Dean, former religion editor for the Washington Times and a contributor to Get Religion. Julia, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
You covered Washington, D.C. with the Washington Times, and this man, Theodore McCarrick, for the better part of a decade. How would you explain how this story, this series of stories and tragic abuses of office here, failed to make it into print until recently?
Well, first of all, he was doing his abusing in I'd say 70s and 80s. So all that happened way back when. And the underage folks said nothing about it until this year, which is very common in abuse cases. A lot of times people are in their 40s, 50s, and 60s before they speak out, especially against someone as powerful and elevated as Cardinal McCarrick. And then there was his dalliances, for lack of a better word, with seminarians in the 80s in a very controversial, you might say, beach house that he had on the Jersey Shore in the town of Seagirt, and where he would basically force seminarians to be in the same bed as he was. So all that happened way back. And then he, I guess, not sure when he stopped doing this, but at some point, he had that beach house into the 90s. And rumors were getting out about the shenanigans at the beach house. And there was much worse stuff going on that wasn't getting out. But a lot of seminarians knew that if they had a weekend with the cardinal at the beach house, they all had to make sure to grab a bed early or they'd be sleeping with the cardinal. But again, there was not a whole lot of people saying that there was anything sexual going on. It was very, very uncomfortable. But the Vatican, the nuncio, did instruct him to sell the place. But still, he had a bad reputation to the point where a party of people went to Rome and begged Rome not to make him into a cardinal, because it was rumored in the late 90s that he was going to be the next archbishop or cardinal of Washington, D.C. So all this stuff had built up over about a 20-year period. Anyway, he became cardinal, and then there are two seminarians who he interacted with sexually, went way beyond just staying in a bed with him. And both of those people, after years of trying to get their act together through counseling and whatever, approached the Diocese of Newark and Metuchen sometime in the early part of this century, asking for settlements. One got an $80,000 settlement, another got a $100,000 settlement. At this point, journalists were starting to hear about this, but no one would go on the record. And in 2008 is when I entered the picture, because a priest gave me a huge file on one of the seminarians, very graphic descriptions of what McCarrick did with him and how he basically tried to push the man away. And how and even there was like a DVD, like a recording of McCarrick calling him on the phone. I mean, all sorts of documentation. I told my newspaper about it and started working on it and tried to go through court records in New Jersey. But it was like searching for a needle in a haystack. Plus, everybody involved would not go on the record. The victims would not. And I didn't know that McCarrick had done horrible things to underage kids. I thought it was all supposedly consenting adults. I was laid off in 2010, passed my material on to another reporter in New Jersey. He tried to go at this, and he ran into the same problems. So by this time, you're having more and more media are knowing about Cardinal McCarrick. Meanwhile, McCarrick had retired in 2006 from Washington, D.C. So in a way, part of the secret was like, is this still, I mean, do we want to go after this or not? The guy's retired. And then, of course, the New York Times Magazine got wind of it and assigned someone to look into it. He put together a story, had people on the record, it was ready to go, and the magazine never ran it. And that was in 2012. So flash forward to this year, when finally one of the people who had been abused by McCarrick when he was 16 got a lawyer and filed suit and went to the diocese to say that there were definitely grounds for this. There was an investigation done earlier this year. It was found that his claims were credible. And that all hit the fan on June 20th. And that's why we're here today.
What is the current status of Theodore McCarrick with respect to the magisterium of the church?
Well, he just resigned as cardinal. So it's not sure. I still call him Cardinal McCarrick, even though technically he no longer has right to that title. He has left the College of Cardinals. However, he is still a priest. He's going to be up for a church trial. So all we know is that the charges for this 16-year-old who made the first allegations were found credible. And of course, more people have been crawling out of the woodwork. There's this guy called James who lives in Loudoun County, Virginia, who's claiming all sorts of stuff. I can't speak to that one because I don't think the church has looked into his claims at all at this point. I'm not too sure. And they're very secretive as to what they're investigating, who they're talking to, and whatnot. But let's just say from June 20th until the time that McCarrick resigned, and that was last Friday, that would have been July 27th, so in a five-week period, obviously pressure was put on him. There was to do something to step down. The allegations, so many people were talking about, not only had he gone after at least one minor, or maybe two or more, there's people who never come out, who don't talk at all, but he certainly went after adult men, which was totally, it might not be against the law, but it was totally against all morality and church law that we know of.
What does a church trial entail in this case, as far as we can tell?
Well, it's a little unclear. Will he be brought to Rome? Will it be done in D.C.? The man is 88. I am sure whatever is done, it will be done in Washington, D.C. I don't think the word on him is he's not all there mentally. He's pretty much confined to the place where he's staying. It's a seminary in Washington, D.C. Who would be brought in to do it? They've not released any kind of information. And I heavily doubt the public would be able to attend. I'd be very surprised if the public attended, but you never know. When it's going to be, I'm not sure. But a church trial is a pretty big deal, and of a cardinal, I think that's almost, that's historic. I don't think any of the other cardinals, there's one who has resigned. I mean, we're talking, it's almost like it never happened before type of thing, so everyone's feeling their way on this.
How do you evaluate the way that it's being covered now that it is being covered?
It's actually being covered fairly poorly. The only two newspapers that are really doing anything on this is, of course, the New York Times and the Washington Post. And this morning I came out with a column really trashing WTOP, which is a Washington, D.C. radio station, on how they basically let Cardinal Worrell, Donald Worrell is the cardinal who has taken over from McCarrick as of 2006. He's been in the Washington, D.C. seat for 12 years. I criticized WTOP for, one, they didn't put the video online. I have no idea why. And two, why did they let Worrell get away with just soft, pebbled questions? They didn't say to Worrell, how could you have not known this? You've been there 12 years. This man got settlements from two dioceses. You're an insider in terms of what goes on in the Vatican. You tend to know it. You've been involved with the Vatican for many years, 30 years or more. And you are now saying to people that you did not know that McCarrick had allegations against him, that there were rumors about him, whereas every other East Coast bishop who was around in the 90s and the early aughts knew. So that I don't think much of their coverage. Everybody else is basically copying what the Post and the Times are saying. They're the only two newspapers that I know of have put anything into this. There are some independent reporters who are doing little things here and there, but it's no one has what I and a few other reporters have, this enormous trove of documents that one of the seminarians came and spilled all about McCarrick. He still has not gone on the record. He's hiding out in North Carolina, as far as I know. His lawyer's refusing to talk to the media. So right now, I did a column on what media can do to close this thing. I'm telling people they need to fly down to North Carolina and go find this guy. I mean, what else can they do? They can also press Worrell on what he knew and when he knew it. So I am, again, other than the Times and the Post, I'm not too impressed. I know it's a tough case. The Post took a long time to come out with, they took almost a month to come out with their major version of the story, other than a breaking news story on June 20th, but then they took almost a month to research this. I know there's lawyers involved, and I mean, they have to run this by the right people. The New York Times was very fortunate. They had some people come to them, so they've been breaking more stories earlier. But I'm hoping more Washington media get involved in this. It's a huge story.
How responsive has the Roman Catholic Church been on this in the media coverage, as far as you're concerned?
I've been amazed. There's not been much out there. I don't think Crux is one of the better outlets there, based in Boston. As far, they've kind of commented on it. I don't think they've put any people on the story themselves. National Catholic Reporter is criticizing. I mean, they're criticizing the media, but I don't see them going out and doing anything. In fact, I've been a little surprised at how kind of anemic the Catholic response has been, other than, you know, repeating what Worrell might say. And he just, you know, the Catholic news agency, you know, just came out and said Worrell claims that he didn't know anything about this. But, of course, they're not putting Worrell's feet to the fire. And if Worrell, he's not given a press conference, he seems to be hiding out. And, unfortunately, there's no huge gathering of bishops coming up where reporters can go and basically kind of nail these guys in the hallway next to the bathrooms. I mean, it sounds crazy, but we used to do that at the bishops' gathering, the annual one every November. We literally would stake out the men's room and jump these guys as they headed toward there. So, because a lot of them, I mean, they'd run from the media. They didn't want to talk to us.
Did you receive in the, as you say, the treasure trove of documents that you received over some time on these issues, did you receive any evidence that complaints were being communicated to the diocese itself and that they were being responded to or ignored?
They were ignored. I got the full bulk of documents in 2008 on one particular day. I drove somewhere and got it. And then, yeah, it was ignored. I mean, there was a reporter actually at the Washington Times who I mean, he went after the story several years early, and he wrote, named George Archibald. He wrote about it in a book he came out with, Journalism is War. And that book came out like in 2009 with names and everything. And I called the lawyer for one of the seminarians, and I said, well, okay, it's on the record. Now what are you going to do? You're going to sue him? And the lawyer was like, you know, I'm not going to bother this. The more I do about it, the more PR I would get. And George's book didn't get much distribution, and no one picked up the story. So I don't think anyone paid attention to complaints. I know that other than that complaint that was made to the Vatican, everyone seemed to know about it. And again, there was the settlements in 2005 and 2007. So come on, word had to travel up that this money was being paid out. But, yeah, no one was really paying attention. We know that John Paul II was not really paying attention in 2000 when Theodore McCarrick was made an archbishop. The thought was, well, okay, whatever he may have done in the past, it was all consenting adults. It all involved seminarians. Who cares? And, by the way, he raises money for the church, which he was an amazing fundraiser. So, you know, they just decided to wink at it. They apparently, and this is what I'm guessing, they did not know this. There was anything involving minors. That was a huge shock this year.
Finally, how discouraging do you think this story has been to American Catholics?
Well, it's again, the whole crisis has been going on since 2002, so we're talking 16 years. You know, to them, it's just one more person to go down. This is making news only because it's a cardinal, and he's so high up. How discouraged are they? I saw one Catholic website that 15% of U.S. Catholics have left the church in the last decade and a half. I think people are very discouraged, and I know they're losing a ton of people. It's not something. They're talking about a whole lot. I have yet to hear a bishop's meeting where they're talking about defections, but obviously people are going elsewhere. The Pew Research has done some work on where Catholics have gone, but they are obviously walking out. What this one thing will do about Cardinal McCarrick, it's just one more nail in the coffin.
Julia Dean is a former religion editor of the Washington Times and a contributor to Get Religion. Julia, thank you very much for being our guest.
You're welcome.
When we come back, it's time to talk with Dr. Alfonso Espinosa, part 7 of our series with him on dualities in Scripture today, present and the future, now and not yet. Stay tuned.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Issues Etc. returned to the air on June 30th after being canceled by the previous leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod during Holy Week of 2008. For a special 10-year anniversary donation of $100 or more, we'll send you a CD of Issues Etc. listeners' top 12 hymns. You can make an anniversary gift online at issuesetc.org or by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.